Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
This morning, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, I will be reading from verse 28. Proverbs 22, verse 28 this morning. I'll give you just a few moments to find your place as we are gathered today on this holiday weekend. It is the independent weekend before Independence Day. Of course, I'm sure each one of you know that. We have our thoughts turned toward America, toward our independence, toward our history as a nation. We are celebrating that this week. But as we celebrate our independence this morning, we also want to remember our dependence. Our dependence on God and our dependence on Jesus Christ. Because that did play a role in having the freedoms that we enjoy today. I realize that may not be popular in our postmodern teachings, but I've never claimed to be a postmodern preacher. The reality is God had a hand in this nation. Our founding fathers knew that. While they may not have been evangelical Christians, they may not have been Puritans, they may not have been Anglicans, in the purest sense of the word, they were followers of Christ. So today, with that in mind, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28 this morning. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. Myself, personally, I cannot express with words how thankful I am to live in America. When I watch the news and I see the persecution that takes place with Christians around the world in other countries, and I see the same thing taking place here, of course we don't want to call it that today, but in reality that's exactly what it is. There is Christian persecution taking place. It's not endorsed by the government directly. It's not supported by them. It's not encouraged by them per se. But it's not stopped by them either. The reality is, though, that we still live in the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. We have our problems. We have our issues. But we are still one of the blessed, most blessed nation on the face of the earth, I believe. And I'm thankful for that. I consider my citizenship in this nation to be one of my prized possessions. I love the July 4th holiday. I love the celebrations. I love the flag. I love the fireworks. I love the when we gather in church and we sing the patriotic hymns. I love these American traditions. But I have a question, something that concerns me deeply. Are we going to be able to keep them? Are we going to be able to hold on to the traditions that we hold so dear? The hymns that we read this morning, we sung this morning. If you'll go and you'll read, look over those hymns, you'll see a date that they were published. Very old. They go back generations in our nation. It wasn't something that was put together just to have something to do. These hymns were put together to sing about this nation and God's hand in it. It's something that is accepted. It is something that is understood. It is something that has been embraced by the church since its establishment. And I'm talking back into the 1600s. I'm going back that far. It makes me think of a story, recalls a story. A father was talking to his son one day, And his son said, every person who lives in the United States is a privileged person. I'm sorry, the father said that to the son. And the son said, I disagree. The father could have had an argument right there, but he looked at his son and he said, son, that's the privilege I'm talking about. We have the privilege to disagree. We have the privilege to speak our mind. We have the freedom of religion, of speech, of the press. We have the right of petition in this country. We have the freedom to hope and to dream. We have the freedom to pursue our dreams. We are free in so many ways, the father told his son. We have these rights because of what our forefathers have done. And what exactly have they done? They have established landmarks. Landmarks which set us apart from every other nation, not just in the 21st century, not just in the 20th century, but we are set apart from every nation that has ever existed. Are we exceptional? In many ways, yes, we are. I've said this before and I will say it again because I stand on it firmly. America did not start in 1776. America started in 1620. America started when the Europeans set foot on Plymouth Rock. America started when those handful of Puritans got off of the Mayflower and signed what we know today as the Mayflower Compact. Now, not every member, not every person that was on the boat signed it. Only the Christian community did. But the Christian community that was on board the Mayflower, before they came to shore, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which said that they understood that their purpose for setting foot on this nation and helping found this nation and helping occupy this nation was to be a Christian outreach to the world. America, from a Christian perspective, was founded as a missionary movement. A landmark that was set in place by God through a group of Christians who were not willing to be told no. The Church of England was telling them, you can't worship the way you want to worship, you have to worship the way we tell you. They said, no, we won't. We will worship the way God leads us. And they did, even to the point of setting foot here. Now let's fast forward to 1776 and beyond. There are some landmarks that have been put in place in this nation that we are going to be celebrating more closely on July the 4th. Than anything that's been discussed so far. But what's been discussed from 1620 was the anchor and the foundation from these other landmarks. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to bring to you first some introduction, and then I want to bring to you three landmarks that have been put in place. In ancient times, we need to realize this, that boundary stones were set aside as landmarks. They marked a person's property. They were a property line. As a matter of fact, we still use boundary stakes and boundary indicators today. They set aside the property that you own versus the property your neighbors own. Anyone who would move that landmark stone in the ancient days was in effect stealing land. Boundaries in Israel were precious. They were precious because God owned the land and God distributed the land according to His rules and according to His standards and according to the way He wanted it done. And He gave each tribe of the 12 tribes their own block of property according to His purposes and according to His plan. For somebody to take it upon themselves to extend their property, it was illegal. It was a violation of the oath that had been taken and a covenant that had been entered into with God. To pull back a boundary, the very same circumstances. It was a reneging on the commitment of God, a commitment to God and to God's promises. The boundaries that were established by their forefathers were to be preserved. What God had set apart in the ancient days, the people of Israel were expected to follow as the boundaries and the outlay of the property for their nations. However, it's unfortunate, but the moving of a boundary stone may still be a major problem, but it's not so much stealing a property we're concerned with today. We have a much greater problem in America. It is landmarks of founding principles. It is landmarks that are ancient to America that were founded in the years coming up to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was landmarks upon which America has been founded and built. It is landmarks that we need to recall today. It is landmarks the church needs to embrace, needs to regain and take hold of this morning. I realize that we live in a relativistic postmodern world where postmodern thinking seems to grab our every thought. Everyone today feels free to interpret things any way they want to interpret them and take the attitude, if it's right for me, it's right for me. I'm not worried about anybody else. That may make us feel good. We may have a warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside when we think about that. But in reality, when we line it up with God's Word, it comes up short. Because our landmarks aren't set by us. Our interpretations aren't set by us. It's set by God. And I'm talking about morally. I'm talking about on eternal standards. I'm talking about on the way things are practiced and how we practice and how we put into play the things that we do in America. We have gotten to the point in our nation where just because something is legal doesn't mean it is right. We have gotten to a point in America where we're legalizing behaviors that the Bible calls sin. And we're doing it based upon the principle of, well, according to my interpretation, they have a right. People don't have a right to sin. They have a nature to sin. Government does not give that or take that away. We're born with it. Every one of us. Sin is not something the government can bless and endorse. Sin is not something the government can abolish and take away. Sin is something the government does have to and will be required to be held accountable for. God will judge those sitting in government offices that choose to make a mockery of His Word and choose to make a mockery of sin and the redemption of sin and laugh it off at the sake of power or prestige or greed or anything else. We do have to face that as a nation. The landmarks that have been set in place by the Word of God over the generations of man are going to have to be recalled. One of those landmarks this morning I want to talk about is the landmark of liberty and sacrifice. It has been said that there's a temptation in America to enjoy the fruits of citizenship without tending to the tree of liberty. Now this quotation can make you think before you really grasp hold of what it says. We have our freedoms today because people have died, because people have fought battles, fought wars, given their lives to secure the freedoms that we have. They enjoyed the fruits of citizenship because they did tend to the tree of liberty. They invested something into their liberty. Let's ask ourselves a question today. What are we investing in the liberty of our nation? How are we investing it? Are we just enjoying the birthright of the freedom that we have? Or are we doing something to build upon it for the next generation? It has been said that the freedom that we have here in America is one generation away from extinction. One generation that comes along that feels that they don't have to do anything. One generation that comes along that says, I'm no longer responsible. It's not mine. I inherited it. One generation that says, not me. Is the generation where we begin losing it. John Adams, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, said this, whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. That is taken by many to be a defining moment in the term patriotism and what it really means. It doesn't mean that they will just go out and voluntarily lay their life down, but it means they will go out and they will do what is necessary to secure freedom. It is that mentality, it is that mindset that led farmers, that led working class people to take their hunting rifles and join forces and challenge the greatest nation and the greatest army on the face of the earth at that day. And it is the grace of God, based upon the prayers that went up from these people, that led them to victory. And how do I know that? History states, and you don't hear this in a lot of places, you won't hear it on CNN or Fox News. But when you start looking into it, the British government, after the end of the Revolutionary War, when they got back over to England, they were looking at their loss and how they lost America. And it was determined by a strong consensus, by those that were on the battlefield. They lost the battle because of the preachers. They lost the battle because of the preachers. Because the preachers not only would give up, got out of the pulpit, took up their arms and went and helped fight, but they considered preaching the whole time. They continued to preach. They continued to keep the faith of the people lifted up. They continued to keep moving them forward by sharing God's Word. They continued to keep lifting up God and reminding them of the past and reminding them of the landmarks that were set up in 1620 when they set foot in this nation. The preachers kept preaching the gospel. The people that were fighting the battles kept praying to God to move them and keep their hearts fixed in a proper direction and for a proper purpose. And God blessed their efforts. The landmarks of liberty and sacrifice are on display by those who willingly serve in our nation's militaries and who fight the battles of freedom around the world. But they're also in display in your heart and in my heart and life today. Do we, as born again children of God, cherish what God has given us enough to continue to sacrifice for it and to seek God's greater good in the whole picture of America? Because if we don't, the next landmarks that I'm going to talk about are going to suffer. And I think when we get to the next one, you're going to see and understand better exactly where I'm going. The landmark of capitalism and conscience. The forefathers who came and settled this country and began it, they founded a system of government when they were convinced in that system of government that there was God. And God not only was involved in the destinies of men and in the destinies of nations, but they believed that through God, they were endowed by their Creator with unalienable rights. I'll get the word out in a minute, I promise. Unalienable rights. And that among those were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The government never guaranteed happiness. They promised the liberty to pursue it. Unobstructed. Unobstructed. There was a moral fiber that ran through this land, a moral strength in our nation at that time, a conscience. But today, when we look at America, we see greed, we see materialism, we see power, we see people looking for prestige. There is a selfishness that's running rampant in America today. A selfishness that says, I'm interested in me and only me. I'm interested in what I can gain at the expense of anyone else. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about this. Play by whatever rules I have to play by to accomplish what I have to accomplish. We are practicing capitalism in America today, but we're practicing it with no conscience, with no moral fiber, with no conviction. Yes, capitalism means a free market. Free to buy, free to sell, free to earn our own living. But when we talk about capitalism without a conscience, we're talking about a ruthlessness that comes into life. We're talking about a society of people that walk down the road and see someone homeless and just say, that's their problem. We're talking about a society of people that no longer sees those things as their own personal conviction. We talk about how we need as a government to do this, and we need as a government to do that, and we need as a government to do the other. Why don't we look at it from a personal perspective and ask the question, what can I do personally to help with this? Me. I might not be able to do a lot, but if me as a person does what I can do, and you as a person do what you can do, individually we take ownership of these problems and we restore some landmarks of conscience in America. And we don't worry about anybody telling us that we have to do it. We pick it up because we want to do it. That's the testimony of the church. That's what the church used to do. The church didn't wait on the government to say, we'll finance this, go do it. Or we'll organize it, go do it. The church said, hey, there's a problem over here, there's a need over here, there's an issue over here, let's get together and let's go meet it. They did. They did, and God was glorified, and there was a moral fiber that ran through the nation. It wasn't based on money, it wasn't based on profit and loss, none of that was looked into it. It was just the pure moral conscience of the nation. You want a prime illustration of the circumstances and situation that affects everyone in America? Think of health care. We have the greatest system of health care on the face of the earth. Diseases are being cured, testing, diagnostics, all of that, some of the greatest technologies and sciences on the face of the earth. But nobody can afford it. The price of medicine and the price of health care is so profit-driven and so powerful and so influential that it reaches into the operation of the government in order to secure its maintenance. It's capitalism. It's capitalism without conscience. There's a growing movement coming about talking about the single-payer system or the government healthcare system. It isn't going to be any better because it's still based on power and prestige and control. We move from the greed of somebody else controlling us through our family doctors to the greed of power and prestige controlling us through taxes. Want health care fixed? Pray that God moves and reestablishes a conscience in those who are responsible for it. Those who set the prices, the insurance companies who are more interested in their status on Wall Street than they are the condition of those who pay for their premiums. The CEOs who are more interested on their legacy of how big of a system they've built without regard of how many people they've taken care of or how well they've taken care of them or how well they've been able to meet their needs. Conscience and the morality of God moving in America to restore that landmark. It's got to start somewhere, church. Why not let it start with us? Why not let it begin in the house of God where other revivals have begun among the body of Christ, sincerely crying out? We need to recall the landmarks that made America great, but those landmarks aren't based on executive privileges or actions or Congress voting on this or the Supreme Court ruling on that. Those landmarks are based on the people of God falling on their face and calling out to God to move in this country and to move in their lives, to restore some conscience. If we want to understand liberty and sacrifice and that landmark, we have to also first understand conscience and how it works and how God's moving works in the conscience of a nation. And last, there's a landmark of religious freedom and commitment. In the early days of America, it was made clear that Congress would not and would never establish a state religion. Go back to 1620. Go back to why the Pilgrims came here. It was a government religious system in England, the Church of England. The Church of England was going about through England and through Scotland and through those areas, and they were actually executing Puritans. They were executing them because they disagreed with them. The whole idea of the freedom of religion and not establishing a state religion goes back to that fact. There will never be a thing in place in America that will put the risk of worship under a government authority. Americans would be free to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. And it was understood that people would want to worship God. I'm going to say something that's going to be very controversial, but so be it. It needs to be said. Atheism didn't exist until America invented it. Atheism didn't exist until America invented it. When we grew up and we raised a generation of people and we told that generation of people, you don't have to worry about what you believe. If you don't want to believe nothing, you don't believe nothing. If you want to get rid of and not live by your conscience and by the dictates of your conscience, that's okay. We just didn't officially name it at that time. When America was put into play in 1776, it was understood that people would want to worship God because people were raised to worship God. And they would be given the freedom to worship God any way their conscience led them to. Now, granted, we could get into some great doctrinal stuff with that. The time doesn't permit it this morning. The reality of it is, if you're truly worshiping God, you're going to be worshiping God according to His Word. You're going to be worshiping God according to His will. You're going to be worshiping God through salvation in Jesus Christ. You're going to be worshiping God the way it's laid out and structured in His holy word, if you're going to be worshiping God. Now, if you're going to be worshiping a God, that's a different story. You get into idolatry and materialism, and you get into all of the structures that led to the lack of conscience in America. The reality is, we have the freedom today to worship God, but we often don't participate. We have taken advantage of this freedom and this liberty to the point of saying, it's always been here, it's always going to be here, I will take it if it's available and if it's convenient, and if it's not convenient, so be it, I'll go do whatever makes me feel better. That's not worship. One of our greatest national landmarks is the landmark that we have to walk into church unharassed and hear the preaching of God's word and singing of God's hymns and the ability to come to the altar and pray without having to put a guard out front with a rifle to make sure that nobody makes it in to kill us. We don't seem to realize that today. We don't seem to realize that that reality exists. We don't seem to realize this morning there are people in this country today, living in America, who want to walk into churches and kill people. Last week, in this county, I don't know if you saw it in the paper, in this county, in another church on the other end of the county, a man walked into Wednesday evening worship service with a butcher knife and called out a member there, the congregation, wanted to see him outside and talk to him. When he went out there with to meet with that guy, it just so happened this church had a security team. A member of the security team followed at a distance. When they got out there, that man pulled the butcher knife and attacked the first man and was going to kill him. The man on the security team was a concealed carry. He pulled his firearm and he held the person at bay till the police department came to him. They had him down on the ground, face down, and had the weapon away from him before the policeman got there. They arrested him. They took him in. That happened in this little county in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina in the middle of the Bible Belt. Last week. Now, how important is the freedom to worship? How important is that landmark? It is a reality. We don't take it seriously anymore. We don't understand the responsibility that we have. Not an obligation. But we ought to have a desire in our heart to be in the presence of God and worship Him every opportunity we get. Because it is a liberty that God controls. It is a liberty that can be taken away from us at a moment's notice. When I think about what happened last week, how easy would it have been for somebody like a Dylan Roof to have walked into that church carrying a weapon and just started shooting people? In case you don't remember, Dylan Roof was the man who walked into the church in Charleston, South Carolina and killed many members in that sanctuary. It was a knife, and the person was after one individual. Had it been just a lack of having any respect for religious liberty or just a hatred for Christians in general? It could have been much worse. I talked to a reserve sheriff's deputy this week, and he assured me that that wasn't the first time this had happened. It was the first time the newspaper got hold of it, but it wasn't the first time it had happened. He gave me three separate accounts that he himself had responded to without naming names. He couldn't do that, and I wouldn't ask him to. We're not living in a protected little holler in the Blue Ridge Mountains any longer. Our liberties are being attacked. I'm not talking about a political party. I'm not talking about politics in general. I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about people who really want to do harm. And we're sitting around with our head in the sand, thinking it's going to always be somebody else. That happened to Israel multiple times. They got complacent. They got convenient with what was going on. They got real casual in their life. Hey, God's got our back. We're okay. We're Israel. We're Israel. God's not going to let anything happen to Israel. God let them go into captivity more than once. God took their rights as a nation away, and they were not reestablished until 1948. We're America. God bless America. He'll bless America just because we are America. I'm afraid that's the arrogance that too many of us have to. When we move out of here and we start thinking about July the 4th coming on Tuesday and what it means and the Independence Day that it brings, think about the landmarks that we are letting slip away and how we are responsible for recalling those landmarks. We want God to bless America and restore some landmarks and restore some things in America. We need to be recalling them. We need to be on our face praying before God that He would burden our hearts, that we would want those landmarks back in our personal lives. Because, folks, it's just as simple as anything else. If they're not important in my heart and in your heart, and I don't want them in my life and you don't want them in your life, they're not going to get into the life of the nation. They're not going to make it to Washington until they come through the heart of the church. God's not going to come through the government to get to the church. God's going to come through the church to get to the government. That's our role, just as it is in anything else. The landmark of religious freedom and commitment, the landmark of capitalism and conscience, the landmark of liberty and sacrifice. Three of the landmarks that may have made America great and have been the foundation of how God has blessed and moved in this country, and three landmarks that we are losing, that we're letting slip away. It's not because we don't know. Too often it's because we don't care. Because we don't have a conscience for the moving of God. Let's pray.